Welcome to the Motley Fool Radio Show. I'm David Gardner, broadcasting from Fool Global Headquarters here in Alexandria, Virginia, as we do every weekend. We're here to talk about the motley world of money and investing. And on this week's show, we're going to talk to Netflix CEO Reed Hastings. We'll talk about an interesting flavor of economics, Freakonomics, and we're going to find out why, if you want to sell your house, you may not want to call it spacious or say it's in a, quote, great neighborhood, end quote. But we begin this week's show by talking mortgages. No, not fixed rate or adjustable or any of those plain Jane varieties. We're talking reverse mortgages this week, a mortgage that may be of interest to you if you're feeling house rich and cash poor. Here to help us make sense of it all is Fool Radio economics veteran Charlie Whelan, the author of the book Naked Economics, Undressing the Dismal Science. He joins us from the NPR Bureau in Chicago, Illinois. Charlie, welcome back to the show.
Good to be with you.
Let's define our terms, Charlie. First, if I look up reverse mortgage, supposing it was in my Merriam-Webster dictionary, about what would I see?
It's pretty much the opposite of a conventional mortgage. So with a conventional mortgage, you pay the bank over 15 or 30 years, and when it's done, you get the house. This is the opposite. The bank pays you a stream of income for a house you already own for 15 or 20 years or until you die. And then when it's all over, you've had a steady accretion of income, perhaps to fund your retirement. And then perhaps when you die or when the period runs out, the bank owns the house again.
So those of us who have our heads cocked sideways and are still trying to understand, why would we do this, Charlie?
The big reason to do it is what you mentioned in your intro, which is that there are a huge number of folks out there who are cash poor and asset rich, and their big asset is their home. Mm-hmm. If your biggest asset were, say, 10,000 shares of Microsoft, you'd either live off the dividend or, if need be, you'd start selling the shares in small blocks. Your house is not that way. If you're sitting on a $500,000 house, you cannot sell two bathrooms and the garage when you're a little cash needy. And so it's all or nothing. It's a lumpy good, as economists would say. So you're stuck, unless you want to sell the whole house, trying to raise cash to pay for your retirement.
Hmm. What are the disadvantages of the reverse mortgage, Charlie?
Well, I think what we're seeing so far is that there aren't enough companies doing it. And so from what I understand, it's still fairly expensive in terms of fees. The price that someone is willing to pay you for that asset, the stream of payments, is probably not as competitive as it might be. I mean, if you think about it, we think of innovation in technological terms. We think about the iPod. We think about sending movies through the mail, which you'll be talking about. We think about those great windproof fabrics that you can now buy. But the fact is that the finance industry is a tremendously innovative industry. The mutual fund was virtually unknown 30 years ago, and yet it filled a similar need. Is there a way for small folks to buy lots of stocks without incurring all those costs, so they get all the benefits of diversification without having to have the capital to buy 30 blue chip stocks? Well, this is another one of those cases, and the question is, are the firms that are big enough to do this, and it's really a product that combines a life insurance kind of policy, because they're basically making a calculation on how long you're going to live. Because we should point out that one important stipulation of these products is, should they continue paying you to the point where they've paid off the full value of the house, mm-hmm. you don't get evicted from the house, which is really important. So there's kind of a life insurance component. It's like an annuity in that sense. Hmm. And they're also making a steady stream of payments based on the value of those payments in the future relative to the value of your house when they sell it. It's a fairly complex financial undertaking, so we need more big players, either banks or insurance companies, to get into the business so that it's more common, more competitive, and a better value for those for whom it makes sense.
And Charlie, to close, you and I were talking about this once in the past. You mentioned that you might even be the father of the reverse mortgage. That's a bold statement to make on national radio. Can you explain why and fill in the gap here for me?
Yes, I'm not sure I was the first to think of it, but I did come up with the thought on my own. And I was an intern at the Bank of Boston in 1987,
okay,
working on some kind of compliance issues. It's not clear then what I was doing, let alone now. But I went into work every day and my mind wandered. And at one point, I started thinking about, it just would make sense. Perhaps it was my grandparents that spurred the thought that all these people have this asset and not that much money. Wouldn't it be a great line of business for a bank like the Bank of Boston to start buying these homes back? It's good for the homeowner. It's good for the bank, because mm-hmm. they presumably get a good deal on the house that they're buying back. So I went up to the strategic planning department, where I was greeted by a fellow, I believe, endowed with a Harvard Business School degree. He may have told me that over and over again. And yet he thought very little of my idea. In fact, I think he elaborated at great length why it was a very bad idea. So I did come up with the thought on my own. I'm sure others had come up with it before, but it was a long time ago, and I still think it makes sense.
Are you bitter?
Only a little. Did it come through in my voice?
Not at all.
Oh, good.
Charlie Whelan is the author of Naked Economics, Undressing the Dismal Science. Charlie, thanks for helping us understand reverse mortgages this week.
Always a pleasure.